You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up at 7 on Reveal, they take a closer look at PCBs, compounds that were used widely in school building materials such as window caulk. They were banned in 1979, but still pose a serious health risk to kids today.
First, Wisconsin is one of the largest producers of dairy in the country. It's an industry that depends a lot on the labor of immigrants. Some estimates say that more than half of the workers in the dairy industry are immigrants who are undocumented.
Presumptive GOP nominee Donald Trump has vowed to pursue mass deportation of undocumented immigrants. That stance is raising serious concerns among some dairy farmers in Wisconsin and beyond.
Joining me now is Mark Niket. He's the national government and politics reporter for Bloomberg News. His article about the possible implications of Donald Trump's position on immigrants is posted on the Central Time Facebook page. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, first off, what concerns did you hear from dairy businesses and workers about Donald Trump's plan to deport possibly millions of undocumented workers?
Well, I first became aware of these concerns in the Wisconsin primary before the voting on April 5th, where farmers were in public sessions asking Mr. Trump and Ted Cruz, who was in the race at the time, you know, how their policies would affect them. And the concerns are that, you know, essentially deporting all undocumented immigrants, but also building the wall, as Donald Trump has proposed, and limiting legal immigration to give preference for jobs to unemployed Americans, as he states it, would essentially eliminate the ability of dairy farmers to hire the kind of the number of workers they need to milk their cows. Essentially, they say, you know, particularly as smaller dairy farms have consolidated or merged with other operations, that they just can't hire enough local workers or use family members to milk their cows. So they have to rely on these immigrants to do the work. They'd like to give preference to Americans if they'd be willing to do the job, but, you know, they can't find those workers. So their concern is that these immigration proposals from Donald Trump would, you know, severely limit their ability to run their operations.
Why is the dairy industry being possibly especially hit hard by this as opposed to other areas of the farming industry?
Other agricultural operations also would be affected. It's just sort of a fact of life in our country that a lot of our agricultural field work in particular is done by immigrants. The American Farm Bureau Federation estimates that 80% of all agricultural workers across the country, including dairy farmers, are immigrant labor, and 70% of those workers are undocumented. So it's just a function of the type of work. These are, you know, very hard jobs, a lot of entry-level work, and it's just the way these operations work. They rely on immigrant labor.
And how important are immigrants to the dairy industry? What kind of numbers do we have?
Well, as you said in your intro, estimates are between 50 and 60% of all immigrants working at Wisconsin dairy farms are undocumented. And if you look across the country, about a third of all U.S. dairy farms employed foreign-born workers in 2014. This is from a survey that Milk Producers commissioned from Texas A&M University. And they found that over half of all dairy farm workers across the country were immigrants. Now, that would be both undocumented and documented immigrants.
So for some in Wisconsin, you look at the political aspects of this, and some of these, the dairy farmers and the dairy business, seem to be people who would vote conservative, would vote with the GOP, but some of them at least are having second thoughts given this possibility about immigration action from Donald Trump. What did you hear?
Yeah, it's kind of a generalization, but, you know, farmers tend to be conservative, and a lot of them lean Republican. And I talked to a lot of dairy farmers in Wisconsin and Ohio and Pennsylvania, sort of these key Midwestern states that Donald Trump really wants to do well and thinks he can sort of flip from Democrat to Republican in the presidential election, and asked them, you know, how do you view the presidential race? And a lot of them said, well, you know, normally I vote Republican, but this year I'm not so sure. I quoted some in my story saying, you know, that they'd still vote for Trump because they think he'd be better than Hillary Clinton, the presumptive Democratic nominee. But some said outright that they're not sure they could support Trump based on his immigration stand alone. It's that important to their business, and they just don't want to take that risk of having those policies implemented. And one of the things you'll hear is that, you know, it's just it's not realistic for Trump to get these policies enacted, that it would be hard to do, get through Congress. You know, just logistically, you can't deport all undocumented immigrants. Building a wall would be hard to do, and so forth. But I think the concern is, even if you don't enact the specifics of what he's talking about. It could have a chilling effect on the number of immigrants who do come to this country to work and limit the ability of dairy farms in particular to get the kind of workers, number of workers they need.
We're talking with Mark Niket right now. He's the national government and politics reporter for Bloomberg News. And we're talking about the possible implications of Donald Trump's position on immigration on the dairy industry in Wisconsin and beyond. And before we get to the effects on consumers and the price of milk, Mark, why is it that the dairy industry, that those doing the hiring, why can't they find as quote-unquote American workers to fill this, these jobs?
Well, I think they're hard jobs to begin with. I mean, you know, milking cows, you know, dairy operations are 24 hours a day, 365 days. The cow's got to be milked three times a day, which means you have to have three shifts of workers generally. And that means, you know, long hours, early hours, weekends. You know, these are not easy jobs, and the conditions can be somewhat monotonous to do this work, you know, over, say, an eight-hour shift. So, you know, other jobs are easier to do than this, so that's one reason. But I think there's also a sense that, you know, you just can't get enough workers at that entry level to do this type of work, that it's easier for folks to go work, you know, at McDonald's or somewhere else where the pay might not be as high or even above the minimum wage. And one of the things these farmers say is, you know, they offer salary and benefits that match or exceed, you know, other industries in the area. And I think because of the nature of the job primarily, they just can't get enough of the folks they need for their operations. And, you know, that's not to say they're not trying. You know, they advertise in the papers locally and, you know, recruit where they can. But, you know, they just have a certain number of jobs they have to fill, and they can't get them all locally.
Right. And I think in your piece you say a lot of the times the pay is something like $11, and there might even be a 401k involved.
Right. I talked to a lot of these farmers who said, you know, after 6 months you can get, you know, paid vacation time, 401k, uniform allowance. And the survey I mentioned from Texas A&M University found that the average pay across the country was $11.54 an hour with benefits, including health care, and that comes out to about $35,000 a year. So the argument is, you know, the pay isn't great, right? It's hard to live off that, particularly if you have a family. But if you're at an entry-level job, you know, you can make as much on a dairy farm as you can in other types of jobs in the market.
Well, let's look at the effect here on consumers. So what do we know about what might happen if this this potential plan went into effect and you did have mass deportations?
Right. I mean, the fear is if you eliminated immigrant labor, and perhaps that's you know, unrealistic. We're not going to see all immigrant labor go away. But if you just substantially reduce the amount of workers, that means production would have to drop off from dairy farms. And this Texas A&M study did sort of some numbers crunching and came up with some calculations. If we did eliminate all immigrant labor, their calculation showed that about one in six dairy farms would close. We'd see about 208,000 jobs disappear, and more than 7,000 dairy farms in total would be closed because they couldn't get enough workers. And if you carry it out, you know, they found that the retail price of milk would actually increase by 90% for consumers if that happened.
And the price of milk is low right now, so I guess it's an interesting thing to see what that price might do. Americans, I guess, drink a lot of milk, don't they?
Right, and obviously milk also goes into other dairy products like cheese and yogurt, and those industries would also be affected because they rely on milk. And, you know, if the main ingredient, if the cost goes up, you know, these milk processors, dairy processors, really would have no choice but to pass those costs along to consumers as well. And it's, you know, this is all coming at sort of a tough time for dairy farms. They're already under pressure because wholesale prices for milk are less than half of what they were 2 years ago, because we've seen an increase in production faster than demand. So while, you know, a lower price for milk is good for consumers, you know, it's not great for farmers who are working off a low margin anyway.
Now, if this were to happen, again, a big if, but if dairy farmers did lose some of these immigrant workers, what happens? Do they spend more on machinery?
That's one option. You know, there is robotics out there. You know, robots can milk the cows, but, you know, the dairy farmers I talked to said, you know, that it can be an expensive proposition, you know, $200,000 or more for a robot to milk maybe 60, 70 cows. So if you have a large herd, you know, that's a lot of robots. And also it's not like you just turn it on and let it go. You still have to have workers there to monitor the robots and operate them and so forth. And that still requires a workforce they're not sure they'd be able to fill. Ultimately, automation brings its own challenges, and it's a different kind of operation than what many dairy farmers want to have.
We're talking with Mark Niket, national government and politics reporter for Bloomberg News, talking about how a Trump presidency could have a chilling effect on the dairy industry here in Wisconsin, thanks to Trump's plan for mass deportations of immigrants.
And we want to hear from you. Could Donald Trump's stance on immigration affect your business or your livelihood? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Maybe you work in the dairy industry or on a dairy farm. Tell us if Trump's proposed immigration legislation could affect you or the people you work with. The number is 800-642-1234.
You're listening to Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're picking up our conversation now with Mark Niket, national government and politics reporter for Bloomberg News, talking about how a Donald Trump presidency calling for mass deportations of undocumented workers could affect the dairy industry here in Wisconsin.
And we want to hear from you. Are you an employer who relies on undocumented employees? How might Trump's stance on immigration affect you? What should happen to industries that rely on undocumented labor? Let us know by calling 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Mark, before we get to our callers, you reached out to the Trump campaign. What did they tell you about this?
Well, essentially, they defended, Mr. Trump's position on immigration because their argument is there are other costs to the country of illegal immigration, primarily welfare, health care costs, other types of costs that taxpayers have to pay. And, their argument and others who, study this issue would say, well, part of it is cheap labor, that if, these farmers in this case would pay more, there'd be less need for illegal immigrants to take those jobs. And overall, more Americans would be working. And it's easier said than done, or it's an easier answer, because in some cases, like in dairy farming, you're sort of limited by the commodity price. It's not like you can just pass along the higher cost for labor to your customers. In this case, your costs are sort of determined by what the market will bear, and you have to factor in other, costs for feed and whatnot. But Mr. Trump makes the case that, I think his comment to us for the story was, cheap labor isn't cheap, and that there are other costs to society as a result of having these immigrants in the U.S. labor force.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Stephen on the line in Exonia. Stephen, hi.
Hi. I wanted to point out that if the price of milk went up 90%, like your guest was saying, then they could easily pay the workers 90% more, since it wouldn't even cause that much of an increase. So that may be at like $20 an hour, and I don't think they'd have any trouble filling the job. The whole thing is just a scare tactic to get people to believe that bringing in other workers doesn't affect the economy. Just make it follow the market economy. If they can't find workers, raise their rates.
Stephen, thanks a lot. And Mark, is it that simple? What do you say about the economics of this?
Well, it's probably not that simple because, again, there's a lot of factors at play to determine what the farmer's income will be. It's just not as simple as, you raise the price of milk and, the farmer's income doubles and you can then pay the workers more. I mean, as it stands now, the market is such that farmers, the money they're getting for their milk is at a 6 or 7 year low. Part of that's based on, the oversupply we have in the market right now, and there's actually a lack of export opportunity for milk and milk products in Europe, which is causing sort of a glut on the market, sort of the old supply and demand principles at play. So, I mean, I think, I think the farmers would tell you if they could pay more and still be as functional and profitable as they want, they would, but they're limited by what their costs are and what they're able to pay.
Stephen, thanks for the call. Let's go next to Jay in Livingston. Jay, hello.
Hello, thank you. Understanding that it's a radio show, I don't have time to go into all the economics, but he is correct that agriculture is one of the very few economic models where the farmer has neither the control over his input prices nor any control over what he sells the product for, because it's typically a commodity. having said that, the barrier to entry, and again, I am a grain farmer out of central Illinois, the barrier to entry is pretty low. And there's an old truism in farming that the surest cure for low prices is low prices, and the surest cure for high prices is high prices. What I mean by that is if the Texas A&M study is correct and the milk prices would go up 90%, farmers who are already milking cows would simply buy more cows and milk more cows. People that didn't have cows but had the operation would buy cows, bring them in, and milk more cows. The price of milk, because it's a commodity, would drop.
Jay, thanks a lot for that comment. I appreciate that. And Mark, what do you say to that? That the, in a sense, the market would correct itself and some people would get into the industry who weren't in it and other people would expand and things would normalize.
Yeah, I guess it would be hard to predict. And one of the caveats with this study is it's trying to make calculations based on the loss of all immigrant labor, which isn't likely to happen, right? I think we would expect, even if Mr. Trump were elected and pursued these policies, we wouldn't see a total decline in immigrant labor. And in fact, he has talked about, putting together some kind of visa program that would allow legal immigration to fill some of these jobs. The question, is part of a broader argument and debate we need to have about immigration policy in this country, because as it stands right now, there are opportunities for what are called H-2A visas or temporary visas for, let's say, farm workers to come to work in the country. But these are typically short-term seasonal-type jobs. And in the case of dairy farmers, they need year-round workers. So I think, again, we could. It's hard to predict exactly how the market might respond to that scenario, which is a hypothetical, obviously. But I think the broader issue is, we probably do need to have a debate and some action as a country to deal with our legal immigration process, because that obviously affects the illegal side as well.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Mark Niquette, national government and politics reporter for Bloomberg News, and he talked to us about his recent report on the effect a Trump presidency with possible mass deportations could have on the dairy industry here in Wisconsin.